Good morning.
You good?
All right. Good morning, everybody. Now, this morning, I want to start out with telling you about perhaps what was one of the worst trades as a kid I had ever made. I was maybe around 6 years old. It was Easter morning. My brother and I would go to our grandparents' house in Guymon, Oklahoma on Easter, and before we go to church, Grandma and Grandpa would go in the backyard and start hiding eggs all over. Now, my brother, 4 years older than me, he was, had longer legs, much faster, had pretty much zero mercy when it came to Easter egg hunts. By the time I maybe have gotten about four or five of my eggs, I think his basket was probably already overflowing with them. Now, Grandma and Grandpa, they're nice. They would actually, at the end, they'd kind of sort them out and make it as even as they can. And my brother, my loving, wonderful brother, who only wanted the best for me and always looked out for me growing up, he probably felt a little sorry for me because, he always got more eggs. So he looked at me and he said, I still remember this. Remember, I was little and I'm 50-some years old and I still remember this. He says, hey, I'm going to trade you two of my eggs for just one of yours. Let me tell you, as a kid, I thought, that is awesome. He's going to give me two eggs and I only have to give him one. What a deal. And so I got the two eggs and I opened them up and I got, the normal jelly beans. And usually they had the black licorice ones in there, which I don't know what like, and I have no idea why they even make those. And in the other egg, I had that candy, the candy that kind of tastes like, sugared cardboard. But as a kid, I loved it. And I thought, man, this is awesome. And he opens up the egg that he chose, and inside was, just a measly $5 bill. No big deal. As a kid, though, I thought, I was the winner. It was awesome. I even remember asking him about that event and several other events as when we got older about those. And I remember asking him, do you realize what you were doing? Of course I did. You were so gullible. That was my brother, my loving, wonderful brother. Now, I told you this story because every single year, billions of people do the exact same thing with Easter. Egg hunts, basket, candy, family dinners. They shake the holiday around and they enjoy the outside of it. And then they hand back the one thing that was actually worth something. They trade the gospel for decoration. And most of them, they don't even realize what they're doing. Kind of what I want to talk about this morning, because buried inside this holiday, inside the color eggs and the Easter basket kids are going to tear through either this morning or this afternoon, is perhaps one of the most carefully constructed teaching tools the early church had ever created. Now, Easter kind of sometimes gets a bad rap. Now, there are people who say, Christians will say, you shouldn't celebrate Easter because it is a pagan holiday. And there is a very little minute truth to that. But the actual idea of Easter, the word Easter, is much more complicated. And I'm not going to try to break down the entire history of it, but essentially, for us, we have the word Easter. We got that from an old English word, that got that from a German word, that got that from a German word that was translated from a Greek word that came from a Hebrew word that all together encompasses one celebration, and that's Passover. And then the egg itself. The egg is really interesting because it did not come from a celebration. Yeah, there's some obscured beliefs out there that the egg had brought new life and stuff like that, but the actual egg, the one that we use and we look at, it was originally designed as a teaching tool for children. It was kind of like a sermon. There's three specific colors, three meanings. Together, they would walk the children through the Easter story, and this morning, they're going to help us walk it through it too. from the beginning to the end. Now, the first ink is red. It represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. And then the second ink, the yellow one, it represents the love of God and the motivation behind why he sacrificed himself. And the third egg, the blue egg, it represents hope. It represents a new life that came when Jesus rose from the grave. And then the egg itself, early Christians used it as a symbol of a tomb, a sealed, silent, and still, until the egg was cracked open and something that was dead inside came bursting to life. Three eggs, three colors, three chapters of the greatest story ever told. You know, let me rephrase that. The greatest true story that has ever been told. But before we can walk through the eggs, before we talk about what this day costs and what it means, I want us to think about that scripture that Jay had read for us this morning. That passage is the heart of everything we're going to unpack this morning. It is the gospel. It's not a philosophy. It's not a tradition. It's not a holiday. It's a historical event, witnessed, recorded, and passed down that changed the entire trajectory of human history. Christ died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day. And because he rose, everything changed. Everything became different. That, brothers and sisters, is what we celebrate today. That's what we're going to walk through together this morning. But before there was ever an empty tomb, there was a broken covenant. Before there was a resurrection, there was a reason one was needed. See, the Easter story didn't begin when Jesus got onto a donkey and rode into Jerusalem. It didn't begin the Friday morning outside of Jerusalem. It began in the Garden of Eden with a choice that broke everything. Sin entered into a perfect creation and then contaminated it. And from that moment forward, there was one question that everybody had asked throughout history: how do you pay for that broken covenant? How do you pay for a price that's so great? Because Romans 3:23 reminds us that even today, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. See, not most, but all. Romans 6:23 tells us what the cost is for that. It says the wages of sin is death. That is the debt. That is a problem no human could ever solve on their own. No human could pay on their own. And generations after generations offered sacrifices. Yet none of them were ever enough. Hebrews 10:14 says, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It didn't matter how perfect that lamb was. Didn't matter how wonderfully white the coat was. Nothing, no sacrifice was ever enough. But every sacrifice that was made did point to one thing. It pointed forward. It pointed to the one sacrifice that would be enough. And that was Christ, God's only Son. You see, when the time was right, God sent him. And he made enemies in high places. The religious leaders, they were threatened. The political leaders were pressured. And one of his closest friends, one of his apostles, made the worst decision of his life. In Matthew 26:14-15, it says, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. Did you know in ancient times that was the going rate for a slave? 30 pieces of silver. That's what Judas thought Christ's life was worth. The going rate of a slave. And that's where we start moving into our first egg. You see, remember, Jesus was arrested from Gethsemane. He was dragged before the authorities. He was put on trial and found guilty for crimes he did not commit. The red egg. Red's pretty. It's a beautiful color. But it also is a symbol of blood. On that day on Good Friday, blood is exactly what was shed. They drove nails through his hands and feet. They lifted the cross up and dropped it into the ground. And Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, who had healed the sick, who raised the dead, who had spoken with more authority than anyone who had ever lived, hung there and died with the crown placed on his head, blood dripping from him, and a sign that read, King of the Jews. Matthew 27:45 through 46 and 50 says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up the spirit. I want you to sit there for just a moment to think about that. The Son of God, feeling forsaken, alone, dying. This was not an accident. This was not some tragedy that was just spun out of control. It was planned. It was prophesied. We read about it in Isaiah, and part of Isaiah 53:5 says, He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. Every sin that you've ever committed, every dark thought, every broken promise, every moment you knew that what you were doing was wrong, but yet you still did it, it was placed on him. He carried it. He paid for it. He paid it in full. Colossians 2:14 says, He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demand. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross. Gone. Paid. The red egg is a price tag of your salvation, and it costs everything. Then we're told that it says they then took down his body. They wrapped it in linen. They laid it in a borrowed tomb because he had nothing. The stone was rolled across the entrance. They posted guards because they remembered that he had said he would rise on the third day. And there was no way they wanted this to happen. And then the world went silent. Saturday came. Nothing happened. The disciples, they scattered. Many went into hiding. They were in fear that what happened to Jesus would happen to them also. It had been tough for those disciples, for those people who believed in Christ, the people who laid everything that they had aside, their previous life, to follow this person. Their hope must have felt like it was gone. Who knows, maybe today, some of you may feel like that. Maybe you feel like your hope is gone. But hold on a second. Because that's only Saturday. The Sunday, praise the Lord, Sunday's coming. Yellow egg, it's a color of light. Of the sun. And in scripture, it represents the love of God. Not a sentimental love. Not a love that looks the other way. a love that looks directly at the cross and says, it is worth it. We all know John 3:16. We've said it a million times. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's a word in there that sometimes we just kind of overlook. Two little letters in the English language that spell so. But in Greek, it has a much, much stronger connotation, a stronger meaning. It says, in this way, not just how much he loved, but how he loved. He loved us in this way by giving his son. Romans 5:8 says, but God chose his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not after you cleaned yourself up, not after you got your act together, but while you're still a mess, while you're still running in the wrong direction, he died for you then. This yellow egg, this is a love that motivated the red one. And honestly, this is where the story could have ended. God's love us so much. His love was enough that he sacrificed himself. That alone would be remarkable. Many other religions would never have their God sacrifice himself on a cross. But ours did. And as remarkable as that would be, that still isn't where the story ends. See, there's this blue egg. Blue represents the color of hope. See, Sunday morning, 3 days after the crucifixion, before the sun was fully up, a group of women made their way to the tomb to finish preparing the body for our burial. They were grieving, Scripture tells us. They were exhausted. They were carrying spices for what they believed to be a dead man in a tomb. Matthew 28:1-6 says, now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothing was as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said that, he goes on and says, come, see the place where he lay. 4 words. He is not here. And 3 of the most powerful words that has ever been spoken. He is risen. See, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. Jesus had already ascended into heaven. The stone was rolled away so that we could look in and see that the tomb was empty. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Paul is saying, everything rides on this. The resurrection is not a footnote to the gospel. It is the gospel. You see, without the empty tomb, the cross would just be a mere tragedy. With it, it is the greatest victory in human history because death had been defeated. The grave does not get the final word. The thing every human fears the most, the end and dying, has been conquered by the one who walked out of it. And here's the part that changes everything for you personally. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's available for every one of you right now. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. See, the resurrection isn't just something that happened to Jesus. It is something that happens in you when you surrender your life to him. The blue egg, And it's hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's not a feeling. It's a fact. It was witnessed by more than 500 people, recorded in Scripture, and proclaimed for 2,000 years. The proclamation that He is risen. Let me tell you why this matters this morning. Maybe some of you walk through these doors carrying something heavy, a heavy load. Maybe somebody's watching live right now, sitting here watching this, or listens to it on a web page after it's recorded. It's carrying some burden that they can't seem to handle. Maybe it's a shame over a choice you can't take back. Maybe it's a sin that you just cannot get rid of. Maybe it's a wreckage of a relationship that you just don't know how to fix. Maybe it's a version of yourself you've been trying to outrun. Maybe it's a voice in the back of your head that keeps whispering, you've gone too far. It's too late. You're not good enough. There's no coming back from what you did. Don't believe it. That's Satan whispering in your ears. I'm standing here on the testimony of an empty tomb. And that whisper, it's wrong. You have not gone too far. It's not too late. The door, when Christ rose, it became wide open. When the curtain was torn from top to bottom, no longer was there a separation. The red egg says He paid for it. The yellow egg says He did it because He loves you. The blue egg says He's alive. And because He lives, you can too. See, the gospel, it's not that complicated. It's not reserved for people who have it all together. It's for every person in this room, every person around this world that's watching this. It's for everyone exactly as you are, right where you are, who's willing to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for your sin and rose from the dead, and who is willing to respond to that belief. Acts 2:38 tells us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the invitation. It's always been the invitation. And if you've never given your life to Christ, today's the day. Not because it's Easter, not because it's a special occasion, but because He is risen. And that is true every single day of this year. And today, you heard it, and you know it. And today is the day that you can respond to it. So don't trade the gospel for a decoration. Don't shake the egg and hand back the thing that was actually worth something. Because here is what is true today. And what will be true tomorrow, the next week, until Christ comes again. A grave was sealed. Guards were posted. The world held its breath. And on that third day, He arose. Not as a ghost, not as a memory, not as a symbol, but as a risen Son of God. The scars in His hand and death in His feet. The red egg, He paid the price. Yellow, the love He made and did it willingly. And the blue, the hope that walked out of the tomb and has never stopped walking. Because the tomb is empty. He is risen. And if you let that be true for you today, really true, not just Easter true, I promise you it'll change everything. Inside the egg, there is the cross. Now we use a cross that does not have Christ on it because we believe that we need to remember when Christ died, but we also need to remember that out of that tomb, He arose. and is no longer there. If you today decide that you're ready to accept that, to put your faith in Christ, to believe that He has risen, if you're ready to take that next step and do, as it says, to come forward and be baptized, don't wait until tomorrow. We're about ready to sing another song, and during that time, I urge you, don't wait. Come, if you will.